Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the WTF1 podcast. I'm Katie and I'm joined by Tommy, and oh my goodness, what a qualifying for the Bahrain Grand Prix. Tommy, tell me straight away, how are you feeling? Are you still buzzing? It's been a few hours now, but I'm just so full of excitement and happiness that F1 is back.
I've never been so buzzing about a Max Verstappen P2 in my entire life. Yeah, it was just awesome to have F1 back, to have a session like that. There are so many stories. We just had to jump on like a little post-quali podcast because we've got a race tomorrow, and we always think like, oh, we'll talk about qualifying in the podcast on Monday, but then so much will happen in the race that we won't even touch on it. So thought, why not? Because there's so many things have happened. It's insane.
It really is. I mean, let's start with kind of the big headline, which is Charles Leclerc managed to get his 10th career pole position. The Ferrari hype train very much left the station. I know we've been joking about it, but we've now got physical evidence. We have a Ferrari on pole for the first race of the season. I mean, be honest with me. I know you put it on your prediction sheet. Did you put a Leclerc pole as your in your prediction?
I did, yeah, I did. I went.
Was that
I
an anti-jinx?
No, I did actually think Leclerc might do it. I thought Leclerc. I went, yeah, Leclerc Verstappen, and then completely overestimated the Mercedes sandbagging, which we'll get into later. But yeah, I'm sure Matt is the smuggest guy in the world right now, because yeah, he is
literally
called the Ferrari hype train. And it looks like until Merck catch up, which wouldn't surprise me, it's going to be Verstappen versus Ferrari for the wins at the moment. And well, I mean, Verstappen and Leclerc have a lot of history as well. So
incident.
Yeah. Just an incident. So yeah, it's going to be exciting. How were you? Because you weren't in the quali watch along. Were you screaming at the telly as well?
Yeah, I mean, I was having to have like my laptop on my my legs, and I had my phone as well. So I couldn't do my normal like running up and down and screaming at the telly. I had to kind of focus in a little bit. But yeah, like I found when we got into Q3, I was literally shaking like the final few moments of Q3 because I just had so much excitement and adrenaline in me. Because I had an idea that it would probably be Verstappen or, you know, maybe Sainz was even looking like, you know, yeah, pretty promising at one point. But I feel like I still haven't quite processed it. The fact we got both Haas's into Q3, Hülkenberg out qualifying Stroll, like all of these things we will delve into more. But yeah, you mentioned their Mercedes because, you know, we have got much experience of Mercedes going into a new season saying, oh, you know, this year we might struggle a little bit, and then they come to Bahrain or Australia or Austria, wherever the first race is, and then we end up slamming it on pole and winning the race, and everybody's like, oh, here we go again. But it's got to the point now where there's, you know, the old folklore tale of the boy that cried wolf, no pun intended.
Toto Wolf.
Yeah. Yeah. I just realized
the team that.
That
cried wolf, that's going to be like the headline,
isn't Netflix, it? A Netflix episode.
That will be a Netflix episode, the team that cried wolf. Yeah.
Calling it now.
Copyright claim now.
Yeah, do that. Netflix, if you're listening, we want some credit, please. But yeah, they very much did that. And so when they came into the new season, everyone's joking about sandbagging. And we saw a few really like tasty laps in FP3 of the Mercedes. But like, they're not really properly joking. Like, they're actually they're struggling quite a lot. I mean, Hamilton?
They're nowhere near Ferrari. And they definitely like, Well, I say they're over exaggerated about the whole, like, we're slower than Alfa Romeo. Bottas split the Mercedes.
Oh, Russell. Bottas.
Russell had an absolute shocker. I mean, Hamilton was fifth.
Yes.
Yeah, Hamilton was fifth. I should probably get the order up, actually. But yeah, Hamilton fifth. But George Russell down in ninth. I was maybe naive enough to think, you know, Russell's been great at qualifying. Mm. And maybe, you know, he could beat Hamilton. But no, he had an absolute shocker. He did have an absolute shocker. I mean, he got out qualified by a Haas, which we'll go into later as well. I mean, that's absolutely insane. What is 2022
What's
already?
Going on?
But I mean, yeah, Mercedes, they weren't lying, really.
No.
And yeah, absolutely be careful what crazy. You keep saying, and then eventually it might come true, right? Be careful what
it
you
is,
say.
It's so true. But yeah, you mentioned Russell. I mean, before qualifying started, we had a quick phone call to talk through plans and stuff. And I think I said to you, like, I think Russell could out-qualify Hamilton here. And that's not, you know, some people be like, really? You know, Hamilton, seven-time world champion.
That's not outrageous. Like, he did beat him in every single most practices, wasn't it?
Yeah. All practice sessions, he beat Hamilton. And also, you know, he comes with the nickname Mr. Saturday because he can put, well, he put that Williams in places it shouldn't have been. I mean, look at Spa, look at Sochi. You know, he had an amazing track record of really outperforming the car. And as a Mercedes, seemed to be a car that has got, you know, these visible issues that I thought maybe George could do a little something here. But no, it's kind of just all fallen apart. And, you know,
if everyone says, I mean, Alex Albon outqualified Latifi by a second. So yeah, that's not done George's stock any good either, has it?
The amount of people going George Russell washed on social media,
it's one race.
Very much so. But yeah, like, looking at the people who did better than Russell in that qualifying, Fernando Alonso, Kevin Magnussen, I mean, what on
in
earth?
In a Haas.
Valtteri Bottas, obviously ex-Mercedes guy.
If you said at the start of the year, Magnussen would beat Russell, firstly, you'd be like, well, why is Magnussen in the Haas? And then secondly, how on earth is a Haas out-qualified a Mercedes? I literally cannot get over that. I'm just looking at Formula One's graphic now and seeing that Haas logo above a Mercedes logo on the grid. And
it's
that being actual pace. Like, I know Russell made a mistake, but still, like, it wasn't a wet session or, you know, they were on different tires or anything like that. In a normal dry qualifying session, Kevin Magnussen in a Haas is starting ahead of a Mercedes. What on earth is going on?
It makes no sense. And especially, you know, Kevin's had a whole year out of Formula One. That's another thing to think about. He only found out like last Wednesday that he was going to be back in F1 again. He's had no time to properly train. Like, some of these drivers have probably been spending their entire winter break, like, not eating anything with a single calorie in it. Just, you know, making sure they're at their absolute best physically, mentally. Kevin Magnussen gets a call from Gunther. Hi, babes. Do you fancy driving a car? I'll go on then. And then flying over to Bahrain and like doing testing and all this media duty, and then qualifies in blimmin' P7 in a Haas. It's just unbelievable. But
it's awesome. I think I was having this discussion with my wife. I think we were both saying that like Gunther absolutely loves Magnussen. And I know like Netflix tried to make it sound like they had beef, but Magnussen is like a Steiner driver, like no nonsense, like raw speed, bit crazy. And there's been a Haas tweet, a really wholesome picture of Steiner's reaction when Magnussen came back to the pits, and it's just awesome. Like, that is such a great story of everything that like went on with Haas over the thing. It can't be sort of like downplayed enough that I can't believe they're P7. It feels like a dream. And then, yeah, we've not even mentioned Bottas, who will start alongside Hamilton, but he's not. I think if you said like to a casual fan, like, Bottas is alongside Hamilton, they'll be like, okay, that's fairly normal. No, no, Bottas is at Alfa Romeo now. They're like, what?
Yeah. Sorry. It's absolutely obscene. Like, seeing the names of these teams within the top 10 is just, my brain still can't process it. I mean, Alfa Romeo, you know, last year they had some great little glimpses of hope with Giovinazzi when his contract was on the line. You know, I think he got like P7, was it in the Netherlands? At Zandvoort, and in Monza, I feel like that could be. I mean, I'm just.
It was as soon as he was announced that he was pretty much fired, he decided to.
Yeah, it was like, I'm going to actually do something good here. So, you know, Alfa Romeo have made Q3 in the last year, but normally you can kind of go, the Alphas and the Hasses, they're safe being knocked out in Q1. Like, you don't have to worry about things. But the people that got knocked out in Q1, Yuki Tsunoda, yes, he'd had a few issues with his car earlier on in the day, but not great. Nico Hülkenberg, fair enough. You know, he's been given the call up even later notice than Kevin Magnussen.
Yeah.
But he's going to be lining up 17th tomorrow. Daniel Ricciardo, I mean, crikey. Like, McLaren had an absolute shocker, which we'll talk about more. But, you know, yes, he's getting over COVID. He missed testing last week, but still 18th in a McLaren is a shocking result. Stroll in 19th, also bad. Aston Martin really not having a good time. And Latifi down in 20th.
How Stroll's been outqualified by Hülkenberg when his first, again, after, you know, Hülkenberg has done well. Practice was the first time he'd ever driven that car, and Stroll's done all that testing, all the winter to prepare, and Hülkenberg's outqualified him. But similar stories like Ricciardo and Tsunoda. I mean, people will moan at me for saying like, "Oh, you're just defending Tsunoda." I'm very worried about Tsunoda's future, and I think if this keeps happening, like, I don't think he will last. Especially now, like, the Honda ties are cut and stuff, they won't keep him for another year, especially as there's Formula 2 on right now and there's two Red Bull drivers on the podium as I'm literally to my right as I'm watching. So yeah, Tsunoda can be a bit worried, but Daniel Ricciardo is an experienced racing driver, and I know he missed. It's been a tough start, but that is not the way you want to start the year. And McLaren, I can't believe it, 13th and 18th, when after Barcelona, there's Lando popping it in P1 and everyone going, oh my God, McLaren hype train, you know, they're going to maybe be up there with Ferrari, and they're absolutely awful. Like, they're genuinely like going to struggle to get points. It's absolutely crazy. Like, I could not have seen McLaren after Barcelona, McLaren's season and performance just having such a nosedive already.
Oh, it is totally shocking. And I mean, for, you know, Mercedes and the power units that they provide to other teams as well, I know that there are other issues. And obviously with the freeze on the power units and stuff like that, there's not going to be too many things that have changed over the winter break. But like, looking at how the Mercedes powered cars, you got both Astons out in Q1. You've got the Williams. Yes, Albon managed to deliver a better result than his teammate. Albon starting 14th tomorrow. But yeah, even McLaren's are struggling.
And then they aren't that good themselves. So
yeah, it just proves what a strong package the Ferrari is. Because yeah, you got one on pole, one in third, and then Alfa and Haas, you know, making it through. So obviously the upgrades that Ferrari brought to the power units last year have been hugely
important. Let's hope it's legal this time, right?
Don't even start with your jinxing powers. You just need a hush.
I will say actually that if anyone remembers my, I think it might have been the very last predict. We made a prediction of what we think, like, make one bold prediction for 2022. Matt's, sorry, Kate, I can't remember yours, but obviously I know Matt's because he's never stopped going on about it. But it's obviously Charles Leclerc. Mine was that Bottas would surprise everyone in qualifying and show that actually he's a lot better than people give him credit for. And I'm going to say, I'm claiming that already, because P6, awesome. I just I'm literally just looking at this grid, flabbergasted, to be honest. It's absolutely insane.
It is crazy. Do you know what? I can't even remember my own prediction. It was so long ago. Oh, was this the one that was like biggest surprise?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I found it. So you said Bottas better than people give him credit for. So yeah, you can take that. Matt said Mick Schumacher. I said podium result for both AlphaTauri drivers. I mean, ooh, Tsunoda.
That's not looking great at the moment.
No, not great. Biggest letdown. Matt said Mercedes off the pace, because of course he did.
Wow.
And you said Mercedes domination.
Well, I've had an L
It's still early days. Yep. And then, oh no, mine might even be worse. I said Haas won't improve on 2021.
Well, I mean, after the first session, that looked like it would happen. But hey.
Dearie me, I'm not looking back at that, because that's just so bad. The predictions that I've made compared to what's happened. But yeah, so Bottas, insane job. Magnussen, brilliant job. Also, I'd just like to give a little shout out to Zhou Guanyu, Guanyu Zhou. Apparently he does prefer Zhou Guanyu, so I feel like that's okay. What we should go with on the podcast. But yeah, making it through to Q2 on your debut. You know, I know that obviously the Alpha's looking pretty tasty in terms of pace, and it maybe is handling a bit better than some of the other cars below them. But I still think that's a huge, huge well done. And also Sergio Perez. I know Sergio Perez is slightly different because he is in a very quick car with that Red Bull. But he is somebody who struggled massively last year with qualifying. So to put it P4, and he seemed to think that he could have put it P3, but he had a bad final corner, which cost him. So I would just like to say, well done, Sergio Perez, because
none of us put him in our top five.
No, and we got abused for it on Twitter, because people are like, oh, Pete, you just hate Sergio Perez. I love Sergio Perez.
It's literally a prediction, and he's been great at qualifying. And I'm glad to see that he has picked it up. And yeah, I will echo that what you said about Zhou Guanyu. It's not easy. Like, it's easy to say that Bottas is sixth, but one, he's a rookie, and two, I mean, look where Tsunoda is. I know Tsunoda had a difficult a difficult session in FP3 where he didn't get any running. He's out qualified Daniel Ricciardo on his debut. That's pretty tasty. So fair play to him.
Yeah, very much so. Well done. Are there any other people that you want to shout out as, like, let's go for biggest winners after quali? Let's talk about that. Let's keep the mood high. And then we should switch it around so we don't end on a bad note. We won't end on a bad note, actually. I'll make sure we don't. But, like, who else has impressed you apart from the obvious?
Well, if I look down the grid, Leclerc goes without saying, so obviously he's on pole.
Oh, yeah.
Bottas, Magnussen, we've already applauded them for their efforts. Guanyu Zhou, Alex Albon. Again, we kind of already mentioned the people. I think Alex Albon deserves a bit of credit as well, because the Williams look, especially at the hands of Latifi, clearly the worst car. And the fact that Albon's put it in P14.
Not decent.
Bad. yeah, decent. Yeah. So fair play to him. What about you? I'm trying to think if there's anyone else really there.
Mick Schumacher's been a good result. He's starting P12, which is probably like the highest he's started a Grand Prix, because he's normally used to qualifying like either 19th, or he had a few little brilliant appearances into Q2 last year. But yeah, Mick looks pretty good. He also made a mistake on his final lap as well, which would have been costly. So who knows, we could have even seen two Haases into Q3. I think I would have fallen off my chair if that had happened. But yeah, generally, there's been so many good performances up and down the grid, which is awesome to see. And then, yeah, biggest losers after quali, drivers, teams, whatever you feel like.
Russell, teams. Definitely. Without a doubt, that is about as worse as it could have been for Russell, especially making the mistake and then just the embarrassed. There's actually, we sort of briefly mentioned a few funny sort of everyone saying that Russell is washed and all this thing. And it is so funny how memes come back to bite you. And if you remember after Imola, Russell's quote about Bottas was he shouldn't be P9 in a Mercedes. And look where he's qualified. Literally couldn't. You could not write it. Like, oh my God, it's so bad.
So savage. Honestly, people on social media are like the cruelest people, but also it's so funny.
It's so funny and it's part of like the hilarity. Sometimes you just gotta laugh at it. But yeah, other biggest losers, McLaren, really bad, and Tsunoda is very disappointing. And I'd say Aston Martin, particularly Lance Stroll, because I know a lot of people do rate Lance Stroll. I'm not one of them.
Tell me.
I mean, come on, he's all had all that testing and stuff. I don't think he's as bad as a lot of people give him credit for, but some people are really hype him, and I don't see it personally. But to be outqualified by Hülkenberg, who's not really done any testing, is not great for him. So yeah, to be on the back row, Aston Martin, they're another team that, you know, there was meant to be a hype train.
Five-year plan.
New regs. So yeah. Anyone else you'd say in there that can take an L?
Take an L. No, I feel, yeah, Ricciardo and Stroll are probably the two that stand out to me, as in they really not done too well. I mean, Ricciardo said he was disappointed but not surprised. I mean, he's clearly
been
memed. He is, yeah, with the performance there. So I mean, it's still gonna sting, there's no doubt about it. You don't want to be seeing yourself down on, you know, the penultimate line of the, like, starting line of the grid.
Yeah,
just Stroll, I just don't get it. I don't get why the Aston Martins are so bad. You know, they've brought so many people over there. I very much doubt, you know, because Otmar's jumped ship, that's why they're doing poor things. But I guess you just got to think it's the first race of the season, Katie. There's another 22 qualifyings that will happen. Updates will come.
Also,
it's all a big learning process. Like,
one thing I saw that was quite interesting that Lando Norris said, when I think it was Sky maybe that was asking him, what's the biggest difference? Are you really surprised that, you know, you were so good in Barcelona and so bad here? And he said track dependent. Now that's really interesting if that is the case, because could we see like it being mixed up every different race? Like, imagine if some people the porpoising issues and all this, like it is just certain cars work at certain tracks. And imagine, you know, if we do go to the next race and it's completely reshuffled again, like how incredible would that be? I don't think I'd be able to cope.
I was gonna say my health would just deteriorate. I would be a skeleton by the end of the season, like, if that is the case. But yeah, I mean, we go to Saudi after Bahrain, and that's going to be such a different track in terms of that. I mean, that's a street circuit. So it's going to be, oh my gosh, it's going to be such a roller coaster of emotions this season. But I am so ready for it. And honestly, like, just the vibe that F1's come back, like in the UK, I don't know if I could speak for everyone else, but like the sun is shining. It's beautiful weather, and I had a really great lunch today, which also helped, and the F1 was on, and now I can like chill out this evening writing about Formula One because it's back in my life. And just I'm on
just seen a
nine.
Marshall's firm on the FT.
Oh, don't even start, that was horrible. Some poor, imagine that though, like you're covering
you'd be like Marshall. why was the camera on me at that point? If anyone hadn't seen it, I'm sure they've seen it on online, but yeah, poor guy. But
buy a belt, I'm afraid. That's my advice. Maybe that's my final thought.
Katie's
buy a belt.
Top tip.
Yeah. Oh dear. But that would probably be pretty mortifying for that poor chap. So hopefully he's all right and he's not too traumatized to not come to the track tomorrow.
Before we go, I think we should have a turn one prediction.
Oh no, okay.
I think Max is 100% sending it if he gets a decent start. And probably, they're not, Leclerc and Verstappen are not going to give each other an inch, are they? It's going to be
incident.
Insane. Incident.
It was an incident. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I'm just trying to have a look down the grid because, yeah, the turn one between Leclerc and Verstappen is going to be fascinating. But once again, my heart rate,
who do you think is going to lead on that one? What's your gut telling you?
Oh my God, same. I was like, my heart is gravitating towards science as I'm looking at the timing.
Mine's science. Leclerc, Verstappen crash into each other and you're doing your podcast on your own on Monday because me and Matt are mourning and not friends anymore.
Yeah, we want Sergio Perez to win the race tomorrow and I'll be super hyped for that. But oh my gosh, yeah. Do you know what? Yeah, because I keep gravitating towards science, but maybe we're just too absolutely crazy people predicting that. But don't forget, a few years ago at the Bahrain Grand Prix, wasn't it like Leclerc, Verstappen and someone else got caught up in like a turn one tussle, or maybe it's a little bit further on in
and
the
who lap. Won that race?
Sergio Perez.
There you go. There's your Damn. I think that's a good final thought, to be honest.
I do too. Oh, ending in song. I'm so happy that F1's back. I could literally just chat for hours. But yeah, we should wrap it up. Otherwise, we will be here until like the race tomorrow. But yeah, thank you so much, Tommy, for spending those few minutes with me talking through what was an absolutely insane qualifying. Don't forget, if you're listening to this, to give us a thumbs up, subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Thank you as well, in case you listen to this. We also hit 1 million subscribers on YouTube this week, which is absolutely incredible, just in time for the new season. And tweet us, let us know who you think is going to be leading into turn one tomorrow. Who was your hero? Who was your zero of quali? And yeah, Tommy, thank you again. And I won't ask you for final thoughts because I'm not mean. But I'll see you on Monday for our post-race podcast. Don't forget,
bring it
up. Subscribe. Yeah, join team WTF1 if you want to see us record that live on Monday. And if you're not team WTF1, then you're just gonna have to be patient and wait for it to come out on podcast platform of your choice. Awesome. I'm just so excited. I could literally just I'm gonna stay up, I think, until tomorrow, until the race. I'm just so full of adrenaline and excitement.
And then fall asleep at the start. Yeah. You'll be just knackered.
I'll just be so knackered. But yeah, thank you again. And we'll see you on Monday. Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans, meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.